Hi there, and thanks for tuning in and listening to this podcast from the Northern Regional Office of the University and College Union. You can subscribe or follow our podcasts in pretty much any podcast provider now. Please remember to do that so that you don't miss any of our episodes. My name's John Bryan, and in this episode, we're talking about the examination results chaos, and we're also talking about colleges reopening in August and September. We hope you enjoy the show. Please let us know your feedback and tell others if you enjoy the show. Thank you. Over the last 2 weeks, we've seen the examination results of young people being top of the news, and it's not been for good reasons. The government initially decided to stick to their guns. They were confident in their processes. They were confident in the algorithm. They then started performing U-turns. They then started engaging in a blame game. They started to backtrack. They did all manner of things which caused disruption and confusion for everyone involved in the education sector. As well as the obvious impact on students, their expectations, their futures, and their families, it's impacted on the workload and what UCU members in both further and higher education have had to do. Universities are having to adapt. They're having to flex. HE staff are having to cope with a constantly changing intake, not knowing what's coming around the corner. They're having to plan for the unknown. And the same is true for further education staff who've also had to deal with all of this. It's undoubtedly the case that the people most impacted by all of this have been the students. Results Day should be the culmination of a number of years of hard work and study, where it all becomes clear what they've got and how they can use their results to go on and do more education or do some training or get a job. Results Day normally means that people know and understand where they stand and what they can do in the future. Sadly, a lot of young people have been robbed of knowing exactly where they stand on Results Day. It's been very hard for them. But we also need to recognise and understand what all of this has meant for FE staff working in colleges. Most FE staff in colleges worked right through lockdown, doing what they could to provide an education to young people in difficult circumstances. Young people themselves might have found it difficult to work and to study at home, but also those people educating them will have been doing it from their front rooms, from their spare rooms, or from the kitchen table. The work that FE staff have put into this needs to be recognised and it needs to be understood. They followed the advice and guidance of the government. They followed the advice and guidance provided to them by management. They predicted the grades where necessary. And some of that has all been in vain. It's staff in universities who have had to pick up the pieces of all of this. They're the ones who have had to deal with the disappointment of students. They're also the ones who have had to deal with students who have been overjoyed when a few days later they had their examination results upgraded as a result of the government U-turn. It's why the University and College Union has called on the government to underwrite the HE sector. It's why we've started our Fund the Future campaign. We know that higher education needs funding and it needs support, and it needs it now. It's important that we recognise the FE staff who have been working in colleges on A-level Results Day, on GCSE Results Day, to make sure that they were on hand to give proper advice and guidance and support to those young people who have been receiving those results. It's been doubly important this year that they've been there and been on hand because of all of the chaos and confusion that has surrounded the examination results season this year. While all of this has been going on, colleges have been preparing to open their doors to staff and students in September. Some staff and students will already have been into colleges in August. Let's not forget that for most people, staff and students alike, they won't have been in college since the middle of March. The opening of colleges in September needs careful consideration, and all of the interests in staff and students needs to be taken into account. Colleges open their doors to a minority of staff and students in June, and in some cases in July. Let's just remind ourselves of the sorts of things that colleges have to do as they reopen their doors to staff and students and fuller education in September. The guidance that colleges need to follow is available on the .gov.uk website. It was published in July. It hasn't as yet been updated. It's entitled What FE Colleges and Providers Will Need to Do from the Start of the 2020 Autumn Term. It's worthwhile familiarising yourself with it if you haven't done so already. The key thing that colleges need to do is to make sure that they update and re-look at the risk assessment that they did for the college opening in June. This has to be made available to all staff and students and anyone who actually asks for it. You should make sure that you ask to see it and that you ask as a trade union to be consulted about the policy. The first thing that a college needs to do is to try and prevent any spread of coronavirus. So prevention is the first key thing that needs to happen. Colleges need to minimise contact with individuals who are unwell by ensuring that those who have coronavirus symptoms or who have someone in their household who does, do not attend the college. People need to clean hands thoroughly more often than usual. You should make sure that colleges provide the facilities to do that, either hand washing or hand gel. The college needs to ensure good respiratory hygiene by promoting the catch it, bin it, kill it approach. This is one of the prevention things that colleges must do. So prevention is the key to stopping coronavirus spreading in the workplace, and colleges need to introduce enhanced cleaning. This will include cleaning areas which are frequent touch points for people. Standard products such as detergents and bleach can be used, but enhanced cleaning and regular cleaning is key to making sure that the virus is not spread. Minimising contact between individuals and maintaining social distance is one of the other key preventative measures that colleges can take. And where necessary, wear appropriate personal and protective equipment, PPE, but this really should be a last resort. The college needs to make sure that it responds to any infection. It also needs to make sure that there is a process whereby people can raise concerns with the management about any issue that they've got about the safety of their workplace. The college must engage with the NHS test and trace process. They must manage confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the FE college community. They must contain any outbreak by following local health protection team advice. These are the sorts of things that the college must do if there is any infection that breaks out. But the key thing is to try and prevent it, and the sorts of things that were already mentioned in the previous section need to make sure that they happen first of all. Prevention is the way to try and deal with this. The union's advice to FE branches to inform discussions with employers about any future return to the workplace is a key document that reps and members need to look at. We have set a number of tests. Test 1. There should be a much lower number of COVID-19 cases. Test 2. There should be a national plan for social distancing. Test 3. There should be comprehensive testing. Test 4. There should be a whole colleague strategy for health and safety. Test 5. Protection for the vulnerable. It's this last issue which may cause concern for a number of our members, people who feel that they're in a vulnerable group, and anyone who is in that situation should make sure that they talk to their union rep about their individual circumstances. There are certain things that college managers should do, and the UCU advice goes into this in some detail. Employers should do the following. They should prevent the spread and transmission of COVID-19 within their workplaces and fulfil their legal duties under the Health and Safety Work Act 1974. They need to conduct suitable and sufficient risk assessments in consultation with trade unions and employees, which seek to first prevent or eliminate workplace hazards or control risks at their source. Employers need to identify all potential hazards and risks within the workplace in consultation with trade unions and employees. Risk assessments should consider all those who could be harmed by the hazards identified, including employees, students, contractors, visitors, members of the public, and so on. Risk assessments should capture what actually happens in practice and include any non-routine tasks. The college needs to appoint a competent person with appropriate levels of knowledge and expertise to undertake a risk assessment. Once completed, the risk assessment should be signed off by the employer and regularly reviewed to ensure the effectiveness of control measures. So make sure that unions continue to feed into what's going on. The college should provide sufficient information and instruction to ensure that employees and others understand the hazards to which they are exposed and the preventative and protective control measures that should be in place. Colleges need to ensure they communicate their risk management systems and procedures to all staff and regularly review the effectiveness of these in consultation with trade unions and employers. If you spot something that you're concerned about, make sure that you raise it with the management and make sure that you tell your union rep as well. UCU continues to provide a whole range of information for members and representatives of the union to deal with the emerging COVID-19 situation. There is a webinar available on the UCU YouTube website on dealing with health and safety issues in further education colleges. There's also one that's recently been released on UCU Higher Education Health and Safety, a briefing which included a question on face coverings. Face coverings is an issue that we get asked about more and more as their use becomes a little bit more widespread in the community with their use in shops and on public transport. The latest webinar by UCU on health and safety, there was a question about this. The answer comes from UCU's health and safety lead, Alex Lancaster.
What is UCU's position regarding the use of face coverings, masks, stroke, other forms of PPE around for face protection on campus?
Okay, thanks, Paul. So I wouldn't say we have a position as such, but the use of the usage of face masks, I think we need to utilise any emerging data and research. We need to be mindful that PPE and face masks aren't really PPE, but nevertheless is the last in the hierarchy of control. There's associated risks with the use of face masks. People tend to touch their face more. You know, they can spread infection more to themselves, and they can become complacent because they feel like they're protected from the use of face masks. But, you know, there may be situations where it might be useful. Like, you know, the government has obviously moved to advise that it's used on buses. But we do need to have safe systems of work in place if face masks are going to be used. We need training for staff. And, you know, we also need to consider that, are there better controls that need to be implemented here rather than introducing face masks? I'm not saying that they don't have any added benefit, but what controls are already in place to reduce the risks here? And some scrutiny of that is needed. You know, it can add confidence, but there is also an equality angle to this. So, you know, we need to consider any individuals or groups who can't safely use face masks for various reasons. And then, you know, if face masks are essential to this activity taking place, then we do need to ask the question that should this activity be taking place, because it doesn't seem like it can be taking place safely. And that is the key point, I think, that reps need to push on.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope that you enjoyed this episode. Please don't forget to tell others about it. And don't forget to subscribe or follow in your podcast provider so that you never miss an episode. The union continues to update its website regularly, particularly the COVID-19 section, which we are adding to all the time. We also have a YouTube channel where webinars are available on a very frequent basis. Our webinars are usually produced live and are available shortly afterwards so that you can listen to them at your leisure. Thanks for listening. Best wishes.